Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio. Got your host, James J. I am joined by our head of news, Melissa K.
Good morning.
And joining us right now, as he does every Monday through Friday, Mr. Paul Trombley from the Weather Eye Weather Center. Good morning, sir.
Yeah, good morning to you guys.
How's it going over there, Paul?
Going well. Have a good fourth?
Yeah, it was good over here. How was yours?
Not bad. I worked part of the day, but I was able to do some 4th of July grilling out, so that was nice.
Yeah. Good on you. Hey, and appreciate you covering the bases while during the holiday there, Paul. How's it looking the rest of the week with Mother Nature?
Yeah, still looking a little bit of some of these scattered showers and a few storms that'll be developing around the area times today, is that we do have this cold front that's making its way across the region. So that's going to keep things unsettled here today with some of those scattered showers and a few storms, and otherwise more clouds than sunshine as the day progresses here. Highs about 79, northwest winds 10 to 15. It's turning partly cloudy tonight as the temperatures fall off in the mid-50s, north winds 10 to 15. And a quiet, comfortable end of the week, 75, some sun Thursday, 49, clear Thursday night, and then 80 with a mix of clouds and sun Friday. Our weekend weather looking pretty pleasant at this point. Just a few isolated shower storm chances Saturday, Sunday. But otherwise, partly sunny both days, 83. And still starting off next week with some highs around 83. Monday, maybe a few more storms into the first half of next week. But yeah, nice, more comfortable pocket with those temps here for the next several days.
Mm-hmm. That's sounding good.
Yeah, comfortable is a good word for it, Paul. Mm-hmm. And I know how much our lawns could really use that rain. So I appreciate that.
Yeah. Exactly.
Always good to talk to you.
That 90-degree heat doesn't do well for lawns either when they're not.
No, especially when they're already dry.
No, I can't believe it's July and I've mowed like twice. Like, it's just weird.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah. Exactly. It is odd.
We'll catch up with you more tomorrow, Paul. You have a great day.
All right. Sounds good. You too.
Thank you.
Best in the business right there, our friend Paul Trombley in the Weather Eye Weather Center.
Yeah. We'll take him back. That sounds like a good forecast.
Yes, yeah,
we'll let him come back tomorrow.
We'll let you back, Paul. That's for sure. Touch on Rafter baseball to kick things off. Rafter's lost. I want to move on. No. it was a rough game yesterday. There's no getting around it. It was a rough one. And the last couple of games actually were a little bit rough. Rafter's lost their opportunity to earn a playoff bid with the first half. Second half of the season has kicked off, and we are 0-1 to kick things off. So we'll get in the win column tonight, though. They take on the Madison Mallards at home right here in Wisconsin Rapids. Be sure to join us for that. Looking forward to this game. It's going to be a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Game going to be at 5:50. Our pregame will kick off. Join Joey and Kevin for that. It's going to be a good one. You can get your tickets for Rafters baseball at northwoodsleague.com. Go ahead and get those tickets. We'll meet you at Winter Field. If you can't make it to the game, no worries. We got you covered right here at WFHR. Melissa and I on WisCountry on our Sunrise show, we're talking a little bit about how our fourths were.
Mm-hmm.
Not bad, but I was mentioning that I happened to be driving through town right as everything, like, you know,
fireworks got done,
you know, finished up yesterday,
yeah,
and everything. I've never had a worse time driving in this town than yesterday through all that. I do want to send a big thank you to the city for reminding me of what it's like to drive in Chicago.
There you go.
That was really nice. Pedestrians just walking around, like with no care in the world, none, like no worries whatsoever. Like they had never heard of vehicles before, never heard of cars or anything like that.
Yeah.
It was
pedestrians
intense.
Rule the road.
I'm going to talk a little bit more about that today during Midday Magazine with Wood County Sheriff's Department and Mr. Sheriff Becker.
Oh,
looking
nice.
Forward to that. We'll be getting into more of that. But I hope everybody had a safe and a good fourth.
Mm-hmm.
And we appreciate you joining us back here on the show. We're going to have some fun today. Got a lot of things lined up. One thing we don't have lined up that we usually do every Wednesday, our Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday from our friends over at Quality Plus Printing.
Mm.
Phil is out of town the next two Wednesdays over in his roots there in Maine. So we're wishing him well and safe travels to him and the family. And Phil will join us back when they're back in town.
Okay.
But we do...
Do we just have to make up our own words?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
I used to know the dance to that.
There was a dance to it?
Oh, Oh, for Mary Poppins, the musical.
Oh, yeah, Okay, that one. we start doing this as a, because I'm working on, with our friends over at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media, at doing a little more video with our shows. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about doing Facebook Live again. We used to do that way back in the day. We kind of stopped doing it for a while during the pandemic and everything and just never went back to it. Mm-hmm. I think it's another way for us to reach our audience and interact with our audience. So we've been looking into doing that. When we do that, though, Melissa, that's when you say something like that, you're going to have to do the dance. You're going to have to.
You know, that was a lot of years ago, though. I'm lucky I can remember the song.
Let's do a little roundup of the 4th as we're letting go of another 4th of July. A 58-year-old guy in Gary, Illinois, was seriously injured by a commercially rated firework. Mm. He was setting them off outside and thought one was a dud, so he stared down the tube.
Oh, no. Oh, my God.
For the love of all that is. Mm. Like, didn't Elmer Fudd teach us that you don't do this in Bugs Bunny cartoons? Like, I don't know, people.
If it misfires, douse it in water.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the only option.
Gas stations were noting how much gas prices were down for the first time in quite a few fourths. So mm-hmm. that was pretty interesting. And do you know what a lot of people were celebrating yesterday? Someone quizzed 2,000 Americans and just 59% chose the right answer, the signing of the Declaration of Independence. Another 22% were close, though. They chose the, quote, the establishment of the U.S. in an independent nation, which is also correct to a degree, just a much wordier way of doing it.
Right.
Now, I normally would rip on these polls. But that one, I mean, people should know, certainly. But it's understandable, I think, to some degrees that there's a little confusion because mm-hmm. we didn't actually gain independence on the 4th of July. It was May 20th that the bill was signed.
Hmm.
It just didn't become common knowledge throughout the states until by, you know, pretty much July 4th.
And it was an arbitrary date they chose.
Yeah. Well, and there's the you know, the fact that not everybody was equal even after the independence, you know, of this country.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people look at Juneteenth as our official Independence Day. And I know some people that look at, you know, when women gained the right to vote and we had all of these things finally.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
I wonder if maybe by the time we have, you know, equal pay across all demographics, that maybe that will be our final Independence Day.
Yeah. I think we have an opportunity here, though, with this, where we can treat the 4th of July as a symbol of independence, as a symbol of what our country was built to be and hopefully building to and, yes, incapable of. I think it's also an opportunity with that to say, hey, actually, did you know that the Declaration was actually signed on May 20th and get the real information out there from schools and teachers and that?
Sure.
And I think so that there's a wonderful opportunity here to celebrate more than just one Independence Day.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Which is great.
And everything American, patriotic, and, you know, all the things that make this country great.
Hmm. A separate poll found a third of us can't spell the word independence.
It doesn't have any A's in it.
No. Also, just 58% correctly identified the country we gained our independence from. Okay, that's
really?
Rough. That's rough.
Okay,
all
that
right.
is rough.
That's 58%.
What was 58%? How many people did they ask, though? 10?
Yeah, really. Yeah, yeah. Moving on.
Okay.
I don't even know what to do with that. Studyfinds.com ranked America's most patriotic cities. America's most patriotic cities. And interesting, at number one on the list, Guadalupe, New Mexico. Near Arizona border took the top spot. The rest of the top five are Philadelphia, Boston, Bristol, Rhode Island, and St. Louis. No,
okay.
No answer, no real rhyme or reason here of how they decided this.
Okay.
They got the poll and there we go. We're just supposed to take the answers, I guess.
Maybe they have the biggest parades.
Shout out to New Mexico, though. We don't see them on the list very often. And in a poll on the American flag, 21% of Americans said that they display one at home every single day. 5% also said that they wear American flag clothing every day.
Every day?
That's wow. That's dedication.
That's your wardrobe?
I'm not allowed to pick on anybody's wardrobe given the way that I dress, so I'm not at all. But I feel like at a certain point, you are overdoing it.
Yep.
If you're every day walking around with the American flag on your belt buckle or a t-shirt, and you get into your car, and let's be honest, it's a pickup, and you've got like two American flags on there, and you've got an American flag bumper sticker, like, look, we get it. You're from America. You're proud of America. USA, USA, USA. I'm one of the biggest homers you will ever know. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like I need to advertise it. Like, I'm afraid somebody's not going to know that how patriotic. Hey, you stranger, just in case you didn't know, I'm very patriotic.
But you know what? I also feel the same way about people who overdo the sports thing. You know,
I agree.
You're a Cubs fan and you have Cubs shirts that you wear every day and baseball caps and it's on your car and it's on your lunchbox and it's, you know, it's your coffee mug.
100%
agree. Anything can be overdone.
I could not agree with you more. Yes. Black is like that. I know people that wear like nothing but black. And like even colors can be that way to me. I say this as somebody who only knows how to match with blue. That's kind of blue. This is a grayish blue. And that's what I wear. So I have no leg to stand on in this argument. I do think that it is quite crazy, though, that that only 58% of people could identify who we gained our independence from.
Yeah, that's a little scary.
Get to a commercial break. Okay. We'll come back and we'll do some celebrating with Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club on the morning show here at WFHR. It's time to do some celebrating with our good friends over at Misty's Menu, and it's time for the Birthday and Anniversary Club. We encourage you to do some celebrating with Misty's. Head on over there. They're open till 2, open 6 to 2, 7 days a week, at 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. When you get there, thank the gang for us. Wish them a great day from all of us at WFHR.
Mm-hmm.
Like, taking a look at our list, Melissa, we only have one name on the list today, so...
Automatic qualifier.
We need music for that. I do want to remind you to get us your birthdays and anniversaries, everybody. Send them to info@WFHR.com or james.mailoff@civicmedia.us. You can, of course, direct message us on the WIRI or WFHR Facebook pages. Mm-hmm. Just send it to us, get it to us, and we will go ahead and do some celebrating with you.
Indeed.
Our person on the list today in the spotlight, Karen Wenzel.
Oh, happy birthday, Karen.
Happy birthday, Karen. We hope it's a great day for you, and mm-hmm. you are an instant qualifier, just like that. Karen gets onto the list. Don't have too many names in July yet, so she's getting in there early.
Nicely done.
Let's take a look at our celebrity list real quickly here. And we are actually celebrating this birthday over on our sister station. Dave Haywood from Lady A is 41 today.
Mm-hmm.
Need You Now, their biggest hit. Has over 577 million views on YouTube. That's impressive.
That is impressive.
It's impressive. Don't believe I will ever have anything that has that many views in it. I don't know, at least. I don't see that happening. Jason Wade is 43, singer of Lifehouse, or from Lifehouse. Hanging by a Moment was their big hit. I remember that one a little bit.
I think I had one of their CDs.
I knew that was going to happen. So I'm using a different laptop. I'm trying a different laptop. And the problem with this, Chuck warned me, was, hey, every once in a while, it shuts down on you.
And that's great.
And I just knew this was going to happen when I was on the air.
Of course it would.
I was quite positive that this was going to happen then. So I had that. I have a plan just to have it up on my phone. Just give me a second here. There we go. So also looking at some other celebrity birthdays. RZA is 54. Wu-Tang chairman, Bobby Digital, the guy that pretty much brought the Wu-Tang together, is the producer behind most of their music, most of the sounds and such. Great, great producer. Great rapper. Edie Falco is 60. Most famous for playing Carmela Soprano on The Sopranos.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I like her a lot.
Oh,
and she also played Nurse Jackie.
Yes. There is a lot of people, including my sister, that would tell you that that was her great role. That was the one that she really, really knocked it out the park in. She was great in both roles. She's a great actor. I don't know if I've ever seen her do anything bad, really. She's a darn good actor.
And I haven't seen the second Avatar, or is this the third, The Way of Water? Is it the second or third?
I don't know. I genuinely don't know.
Well, she's in Avatar, The Way of Water.
Yeah, I think it's the second one. Not 100%, but I think it's the second one. Mark Cohen is 64. Walking in Memphis star. Won the Grammy for Best New Artist in 91, thanks to that hit. And then he kind of just disappeared. He kind of went away from the public eye for quite a while.
Interesting.
But just one of those guys who I don't think really... He wanted to be a musician, not necessarily a rock star.
Okay.
You know? A lot of artists are like
music.
That. Yeah. Somebody who was on the other end of that, I would say, Huey Lewis, loved music and didn't mind being a rock star. Mm-hmm. And one of the biggest stars of the 80s.
Yeah.
If you grew up in the 80s, you knew at least two or three Huey Lewis songs. At least. 73 years old for the Heart of Rock and Roll, Huey Lewis. Robbie Robertson is 80 today, guitarist in the band. He is the guy who penned the line, "I pulled out into Nazareth feeling about half past dead."
Oh, okay.
Robbie Robertson, also a fantastic, not only songwriter, but guitarist, obviously, with the band. One of the most famous backup bands, if not the most famous backup band of all time, Bob Dylan's band, The Band. You know,
The Band.
You know you're in a great group when you could just call yourselves The Band. You don't need anything catchy or anything like that. Let's see here. P.T. Barnum, born in this day in 1810, passed away in 1891. Barnum and Bailey Circus founder. Many of us here in Wisconsin have spent time at the Circus Museum and
in Baraboo,
and Baraboo and stuff. I've been there twice.
Yeah, I think this is their last year with elephants.
Yeah.
And then they're retiring the elephants from the circus.
I think that that's that time has come.
Yes.
I think that there's certainly a little sadness in that. But I think I find joy in the idea that these animals, you know, future animals being free in that. And Billy Froggy Laughlin, born on this day in 1932, passed away in 1948. Froggy and the Little Rascals.
Oh.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. I'm glad we got that one in.
Billy Froggy.
I don't remember a lot of the Little Rascals. Didn't watch a lot of that growing
up. He was the one
up.
With glasses.
That's what I thought. Okay, yeah. That's what I thought. I thought he was that one. Remind you again, everybody, to get on over to Misty's Menu. Let them know it's your birthday. And guess what?
You get pie.
You get pie.
You get pie.
Get pie.
Pie, pie, pie.
Get on over there. Let them know it's your birthday. You get a free slice of one of Brian's pies. And when you do so, thank the gang for us. Wish them a great day from all of us here at WFHR. Their doors are open right now till 2. Open 6 to 2, 7 days a week at 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. Time to get to Melissa's News. We'll be back with more fun here on WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
When can my heart beat again? When does the pain never end?
Little baby face play us in back in. You gotta, I don't know, you gotta really be, I mean, as talented as this man is to be able to go by the name Babyface, I think, though. You really do, really. He still looks like a baby face, too. He still looks great. Melissa and James here with you. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. Got an interesting one right here, Melissa. Here's an either-or relationship question.
Okay.
Would you rather be the funny one in the relationship or be with someone who makes you laugh? Over 12,000 Americans were asked what's more attractive on a date, someone who makes them laugh or someone who thinks they're funny. By a 4-to-1 margin, most said someone who makes them laugh. Only 14% said being found funny is more attractive. 56% said someone who makes you laugh is. And 14% said not sure. Of course. The other 16% said neither. So around 1 in 6 people don't think a sense of humor is an attractive trait in general. Okay.
Interesting.
Yeah. Seniors especially don't have time for jokes. 30% of people 65 and up gave humor a thumbs down. Wow. Wow. I would have thought the opposite. Interesting. One last stat, but not surprising. Men were twice as likely as women to say that they'd rather be the funny one. They were also twice as likely to think that they were the funny one.
Yeah, aggressively so sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Or feeling that... It's a negative to them if you're funnier than them.
Yeah, that leads into an interesting conversation about that when it comes to many things I've heard from a lot of the women I've dated to a lot of the people I've been friends with and everything where a lot of women, and my sister taught this, but you can't be more intelligent than a guy. Guys don't like it if you're smarter than them or something like that.
Yeah, 100 years ago.
That's not a guy worth having. Well, nope. Yeah, but I was in high school hearing that.
Well, because that still clings don't let them know that you're smarter than them. That is so crap.
That is not a guy you want to be with.
No.
That is not somebody. That is where moms were right. Like, when they would tell you, well, that's not your real friend then. That's somebody that asked you to, they were right about that stuff. So 424-2600, I want to hear from all of you about this. Do you, we could take this in a billion different ways. Mm-hmm. Is humor important to you in a relationship? Is it the most important thing in a relationship to you? Do you like being the funny one in the relationship? Yeah. Do you think you're funny?
Or
do you think you're the funny one?
Is it just important to be able to laugh together?
God, yeah.
If one person cracks a joke and you laugh at it, the next time you crack the joke. But it doesn't have to be a competition.
No.
In fact, it kind of ruins it if that's...
Absolutely.
That's what it is.
That's the opposite of... I've heard... years and years and years ago, they did this show, a reality TV show called Last Comic Standing. And a bunch of people in the comedy world really rallied against it. Like the idea of comedians competing against each other and turning comedy into competition.
Yeah.
A Comedy Central did one of the worst decisions I've seen a company make before, where they did the Comedy Awards. And they were going to try to do hand out awards for being funny and stuff. Mm. And it's just kind of like... Oh, it was cringy. It was really humor is one of the most subjective things in the world.
Yes.
It's part of the reason why you don't see a lot of older comedians last at doing stand-up, where they tour doing stand-up. Mm. Like, comedy does not age well. Comedy usually isn't one of those things that a lot of comedy, look at in the 50s and 60s, political jokes then would make no sense now people.
Of course.
There's a lot of
societal changes as time goes on. Things that were okay to say 50 years ago, not okay to say now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just talking about this in a class the other week with a bunch of stand-up comedians that were taking classes in that, where it used to be that you could find out, white people do this, black people do this. And that was comedy, in the early 80s. And, now you get laughed off the stage in the wrong way doing that kind of humor. That just doesn't fly anymore, that kind of stuff.
Right.
There's so much of comedy that grows, even from 5 years ago. Comedy pre-pandemic is different than comedy after the pandemic. Mm-hmm. So the idea that that any of this could last necessarily humor-wise or anything is silly to me. And the idea of competing over, whether it is in a relationship or on any level of competition with comedy is ridiculous to me.
Well, and in a relationship, that competitive... competitive mentality against your partner, I think that's destructive to a relationship. You should be working together, building each other up, encouraging each other, not trying to one-up each other.
Do you think that there's a balance of being able to razz each other a little bit,
of course.
All couples do?
Yeah.
And a little competition when you're playing that game of Monopoly.
Absolutely.
But there's a line. There's a line in the sand.
There is definitely a line. I mean, say you're, okay, we're going to both try to get 1,000 steps in today, or 10,000 steps or whatever it is. Sure, that's a healthy level of competition. But you know what? I'm going to think I'm funnier than you every time I crack a joke.
Yeah, that's not a healthy
mentality.
That's not a healthy way to live, let alone be in a relationship and everything.
Yeah.
I do also think that we're starting a new segment, Relationship Advice.
Don't listen to us.
No. Well, that's it. That's the gist of the show. You have
what not to do.
Yeah. You have some pretty good stuff, but even you, sometimes, I'm sure,
Oh yeah.
And I never have anything necessarily. So it's the opposite show, is what it could be. That's what it could be. For me, I think that if I had to list things that I'm looking for in a partner, whenever I've been looking, or whenever I've been from me at 12 to me now, humor's way up at the top. I love somebody that can make you laugh. I love somebody that I can share a joke with, or that I think that maybe is more important to me than any of that, having a similar sense of humor.
Well, it helps. Because
it's not mandatory.
No, but if you aren't able to laugh at the same things together,
that's tough.
It is tough. Or if you find something funny and your partner doesn't consistently, like obviously you're going to have somewhat different senses of humor, but if they somewhat align sometimes, it does help.
It's nice. I think that I have no interest in dating myself, so I like the yin and yang of a relationship. I like somebody who's different, but I think that humor is one of those things where it really helps to have a parallel, to be pretty similar on that one.
Makes it easier to pick out comedy movies to watch together.
Very true. Very true. You also both laugh at the same people watching things when you're people watching. Because most couples do that. So that's also where the humor comes into play on that. We'll take a break right here. We'll come back. We'll have some more fun on The Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Melissa and James here with you. Boy, my classic rock timing is still there, Melissa. It's still there.
Nailed it.
Feels good. We got some fun stuff to get into to take you to the top of the hour. This one is pretty interesting, and I'm not going to dive into the complete article. You got to do some homework on this one, everybody. You can go to usa.cnn.com for the full article. Of course, you type into your search bar the headline, and you should be able to find the complete article. If not, there's a couple of different articles revolving around this, and encourage you to look into every one of them. We're multitasking while walking our dogs. Animal experts say this is a problem.
Okay.
So dog walking is pretty basic and pretty self-explanatory.
Right. You have dog, leash, walk.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems pretty basic, you know. Make sure that whenever you're walking your dogs, you're bringing the baggies.
Yep.
Don't be that person that just leaves the dog debris. Pick up after your dogs. If you don't, you don't deserve a dog. I'm sorry. I don't think you do. If you don't pick up after your dogs, the dog can't do it.
You're dirtying your community.
Yeah. But most people you see walking their dog, first off, we make the joke, who's walking who?
Right, of course.
That's always happening. But then the next thing you will see is the person on their phone and staring at their phone and everything.
Yep.
And we are doing this wrong. Our dogs are, this is giving dogs, there are a lot of stats showing us that dogs are eating things that we're not seeing. They are getting into trouble that we're not picking up on.
Mm-hmm.
And we're also not giving the dog the attention it deserves. The dog is not getting everything out of the walk that it needs.
Right. Well, because the walk is for the dog, really.
Quote, it's kind of like the dog walking equivalent of distracted driving, says Leslie Sin, a board certified veterinary behavioralist out of Ashburn, Virginia. Hmm. You're not paying attention to the signs that your dog is uncomfortable. And if you're missing all of those clues because your head is elsewhere, that's a problem. Not only because dogs can get bored and such, but they can also, you never know what they might eat, what they can get into.
Or when there's another dog, if yours is one that can take off and you're not paying attention.
Distracted. That's a great point. Great point. Distracted dogs can also not only gobble up the wrong things, but they are. It really impedes on their mental health. Mm-hmm. Physical safety is the most an urgent concern. But distracted dog walking also can be detrimental to a dog's behavioral training and even mental health. A multitasking dog owner may be missing an opportunity to reinforce basic training, sit, come, stay, and other commands in practical setting, says animal behavioralist Mary R. Birch, director of the American Kennel Club's Family Dog Program.
Mm-hmm.
Someone buried in their phone also may not notice when the dog becomes agitated or shows signs of fatigue or an injury.
Mm.
Quote, your dog speaks. Quote, speaks primarily through nonverbal body language.
Yep.
If you aren't paying enough attention to what your dog is, quote, saying, you won't know how your dog feels. Dogs are not a book to have on your coffee table that are a talking piece. It's a living, breathing thing.
Mm-hmm.
She goes on to talk about in this article how bad of an idea it is. You're going to the grocery store. You know what? I'm going to bring Fido with, and I'm going to let Fido sit in the car while I'm in the grocery store. Now, a lot of people do this, and they, I'm only going in and out for 5 minutes. This is the Midwest, baby. You don't do anything in 5 minutes. You're going to run into somebody. You're going to be talking to somebody. And then a half an hour goes by and your dog is still in the car. And don't miss me with, but I cracked the window.
Doesn't matter.
Let me do that to you. Let me do that to you and see how you feel. See how that goes for you. How many of us have had to sit in traffic for 45 minutes, an hour before, sitting in that car with no air conditioning and how that feels? It sucks. Mm-hmm. There's no word around it. It's horrible. Like, you go ahead and do all this while also being in your
fur coat.
A fur coat. Yeah. Yeah. That you cannot take off.
Yeah.
Like, come on. I'm not
okay.
I'm not coming at this from like some PETA level or something like that. Just from a humane level, I would think. The way you treat your animals.
And some people claim that it's, well, but he'll get anxious at home without me. Yes, that's better than them overheating in a car.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. The ideal walk for a dog is one where they have a lot of time to sniff and take in their environment. They have their own doggy priorities. Using their nose is their enrichment. It's like them reading the news. It's like us flipping through the channels.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important to be doing this. Now, it's also important to be up on this for you in your own mental health. This is a break for you.
Mm-hmm.
This is a chance for you to get away from tech, get away from whatever is in the house that's, you know, maybe driving you crazy, or maybe even just get going stir crazy. You want to get out of the house a little bit.
Pay attention to your pet. I mean, you have a pet for a reason, right?
Yes. Quote, everyone's trying the best they can, Birch continues to say here, the lady from the American Kennel Society. But going for a walk with your dog should be about building that relationship and focusing on what your dog needs. That may be the only time he gets out of the house that day.
Mm-hmm.
This is, again, one of those things where I don't think that anybody is like trying to talk down to any dog owners or anything like that. I'm simply telling you, why are you a dog owner?
Mm-hmm.
Think about it and think about why you have this dog. And if it's, you know, is this for the best for you or for the animal? Is it best, you know, how you can make this better? And I hope this gives people the window too to like, oh, wait a minute. Yeah, that's a good point. This could be 1 minute. This could be 10, 20 minutes or whatever where I don't need my phone.
Mm-hmm.
I can just focus on my dog, just my dog and I and that. And that the gift that is right there.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause it's a relationship. I mean, a dog is a lot for a lot of people. It's part of their family. But relationships, you have to build on them.
Yeah, nothing worth having comes easy. Yes, pay attention to your doggies. We'll take a quick commercial break and then take you to the top of the hour with some fun stuff on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you. Thanks so much for joining us. We're going to take it right to the top of the hour. In the 9 o'clock hour, got some entertainment news. That ain't right stories, good stories of the day. And we'll touch on some local stuff as well. Longtime listeners know every Wednesday we're usually joined by Phil Hartley and our friends from Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in Wisconsin Rapids. And I thought, well, you know, Phil's on vacation with the family and a very well-deserved vacation. We wish them safe travels and hope they're having fun. But, you know, we really gotten into the habit of this. We don't want to get out of routine.
Right.
So I thought, well, let's pick our own word.
Sure.
Let's find one ourselves, Melissa,
all right,
and everything. So I came up with one.
All right. What you got?
Cattywampus.
That is a good word.
It's a good word, right?
Yeah, I like that word.
Cattywampus. Cattywampus.
That's what we are without Phil. We're just a cattywampus.
Points to Melissa. Points to Melissa. Originating in the colonial United States and still used in the Deep South, cattywampus means something that is in disarray, that is askew, or something that isn't directly across from something.
Yeah.
That last one I didn't know.
Well, we always said kitty corner.
Yeah.
But cattywampus, kitty corner, they can
the
mean
same
the
thing.
Same thing. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that. My mind blown. Didn't know that. That's pretty cool. I heard this actually a lot when I was in near Waco. Not so much when I was here near Austin and Galveston, but when I was in Texas near Waco, this was used a bit. And I want to say, and I'm not 100% about this, I did not have time to look into it. I think there was a bar in near Waco or in Waco that was named Cattywampus. I think I
would believe that.
I mean, is that that's one of the best bar names you could ever come up with? If it's not, somebody go ahead and steal that idea right now. That is a great bar name. I would definitely have a beer at a Cattywampus.
Yeah, if you're driving through and you got a Cattywampus and you got Dell's Bar and Joe's Bar and The Bar, which one would you pick?
Yeah. Cattywampus, definitely. So, you know, hopefully your day isn't too cattywampus out there, everybody. I think that's a fun word. That's a good one. Join our friends at Quality Plus Printing at 3515 A Street South in Wisconsin Rapids. You can give them a call at 423-7440, 423-7440. Be sure to bookmark their page, qpprinting.com, and follow along with them on social media. It's a great follow. Buy local, support local, our good friends at Quality Plus Printing.
And every time you drive past their business, be sure to check out their sign. Phil always has some really funny, cute, you know, whatever message on his sign. I love it. I
encourage you to do that, everybody. And be sure to be listening every Wednesday. Not next Wednesday, because we'll have another one. Next Wednesday, I'll have you or Seth maybe come up with one or something.
Right on.
Because it's not like you guys have too much on your plates already.
Just remind me.
Yeah. We'll do. So I did want to touch on this one real quick, too, Melissa, before we got out of here. Because we're going to have some That Ain't Right stories for you a little bit later. This one is way up there to me, though.
Okay.
A miniature Louis Vuitton bag that's smaller than a grain of salt just sold at an auction this week for over $63,000.
Smaller than a grain of salt.
The company Mischief is behind it. They're the same ones who recently sold backwards shoes and a box of cereal with one giant Fruit Loop. they went to the Andy Warhol school of marketing or something like that. I don't know. They made the bag using a 3D printer. It's so small you can barely see it with the naked eye. Less than 0.03 inches wide. That's small enough to fit through the eye of a needle.
You lost me at 3D printer.
Yeah.
Because miniature things are really cool. Like if you can recreate something that's, you know, even a bag, Louis Vuitton, I could care less, but whatever, a purse, and recreate it very small is cool. But if you just 3D print it, big whoop.
Yeah.
How hard was that? Yeah. You push some buttons.
So, interestingly, and I worry about you sometimes when you and I are on the same wavelength.
Me too, actually.
I feel for you. I'm so sorry. But I honestly, maybe it's because you and I have been touching on this a bit with AI and everything, and the idea of AI taking over writing and taking over songs and art and a lot of this. And I don't worry as much about it as in some fields. But in stuff like this, it does. I don't worry that, oh, we're going to lose creatives or we're going to lose what I worry about is the people, the jobs, the opportunities for creatives, and also the idea of what pulls us as creatives, the motivation that creatives have. I don't like the idea of things coming about and be like, oh, I could sit there and I could draw this, or I could work on this for hours, or just pull it up online, or print it out. Yeah.
But to, you know, honestly, the person who bought this minuscule tiny grain of salt Louis Vuitton, that was what? How much money? Thousands?
$63,000.
$63,000. Okay. So for the person that has that kind of money to drop on something like that, they must, number one, be a very big Louis Vuitton fan, like collector. I don't know. I don't see that as a real, I don't know. It's not going to hurt people who actually make things with their hands.
Sure. Yeah. This is a very, very select market we're talking about here.
And select, of the possibility of buyers for something that expensive.
Can I share something between just you and I and the audience?
Oh, audience too? Sure.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah. I bought the bag. I'm the one that bought the bag. I did it, everybody. I did it.
You have never owned a Louis Vuitton
in your life. It's in this room right now. It's in this room. I brought it in.
You could say that, couldn't you?
I spent $63,000 on this, Melissa.
Did you bring a microscope with you?
I'm bringing it with me.
So you can show it off?
I forgot the microscope. Well, I forgot that part.
Then I guess
I ran out of money. I couldn't afford a microscope. That's all I could afford was the bag. I also made the mistake. I thought that I actually could carry things in this bag, and you can't. You can't even carry thoughts.
You can't even carry a grain of salt in it.
No. I actually there's a part of me that doesn't mind this article, just in the idea that as if we needed more evidence to prove that people will waste their money. Here we mm-hmm. go. Here's more and more evidence.
Yeah.
That ain't right. That just ain't right. I don't like telling people what to do with their money. I'm not trying to do that. At the same time, I'm being hypocritical here because I'm like, come on, there's got to be something better you could do with that money.
Yes. Because how much time did it take to... So there's obviously some creative something that had to happen. It's not like this 3D printer just poof, magically printed this by itself. It didn't. AI did not manage to do that.
Yes, yeah.
It didn't design it. So there is some human involvement here in the creation of this itty bitty teeny weeny Louis Vuitton purse. But it honestly blows my mind.
Yeah.
$63,000.
I don't understand the people that spend, like on a normal Louis Vuitton bag, spend that much money on one of those. Whatever that costs. It's insane to me.
I bought my purse at a secondhand store, and I love it.
Yeah, yeah.
I've been using it for years now, and I fix it so I can keep using it.
Some of these bags, I think that the bag itself, along with the owner and the creator, have lost their minds, like, mm-hmm. and forgotten what a bag is supposed to. Like, a bag is something you put things in,
right.
Like you use to carry things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I get it that everything can be a fashion accessory, but come on, I mean, at a certain point.
That's no fashion accessory.
No.
Nobody can see it.
That's fashion. That's the fashion industry. That's like the whole.
That's got to have a permit. You got to keep that in a container with, a microscope on it so you know it's still there because you can't otherwise see it.
Melissa, nobody move. Okay,
why?
Well, we got to go to commercial break, everybody, because I lost the bag. I lost the bag.
No.
I don't know where I put it. So Melissa and I are going to look for the bag. We'll be back with more fun stuff.
At least a magnifying glass.
I'm going to look around for it. Beth, would you give the idea? I don't know. It's somewhere around.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.